Hello everyone, and welcome to the So Mindful podcast, where we dig into the tips and topics that will help you have great fun making clothes that make you feel fabulous. I'm your host, Jackie Blakemore of So Much More Fun, and I can't wait to share this week's illuminating episode with you. So let's roll the tape. Hey you, how are you doing? Thank you so much for joining me again for this episode of the So Mindful podcast. It's been a little while since we did a fabric focus. The last one we did was the lovely Harriet Chelman, where we talked about denim. So if you haven't listened to that episode, which is episode 35, then be sure to check that one out. So I was thinking about which fabric to pick for this chat. And as we're coming into warmer weather in the UK, I did consider linen, as it's definitely a great fabric for summer. But lots of you know a little bit about linen, and so I wanted to find something that you may not be so familiar with. This week, I thought we could chat about a fabric that could be described as the Marmite of fabrics, in that some love it and some definitely don't. That's bengaline. When I was doing my research, I found that there's not a lot written about bengaline, and so that piqued my interest all the more. By the way, if you do want me to do a fabric focus on linen, then please do message me and let me know. I've got lots of info on that too, if you're not already up to speed with it. But I digress. So back to the hero of today's story, bengaline. So I first became aware of this fabric relatively late in my sewing adventures. I used to subscribe to Love Sewing magazine, and each month it would be like a little bit of Christmas. The postman would arrive, there'd be a thud on the mat, and there was a monthly dose of sewing loveliness. The magazine has some great content, and as if that wasn't enough to savour, it also comes with two free sewing patterns. And what's not to love about free sewing patterns, right? Well, anyway, one particular month, one of these sewing patterns was the Eva dress by Eliza M. It's quite a fitted sheath-style dress with two long darts at the front and the back and a zip up the back. And in the recommended fabrics it states, fabric required must have a stretch in it such as bengaline. I was intrigued. I'd never heard of this mysterious sounding fabric, so I was straight on to the infinite wisdom that is Google to find out more. Now this was a few years ago, and there wasn't quite as much choice of fabric then as there is now. Anyway, I managed to find two for sale on Minerva. One was a bronze-coloured fabric with like a houndstooth pattern printed on it, and the other was in what looked like a light grey, but turned out to be more of an ice blue. So I ordered some of each to make this dress. A few days later, my fabric arrived. I opened it excitedly, and I have to say, it wasn't all that I expected. The fabric felt nothing like I'd ever seen before, and at the time, I wasn't really sure if I liked it or not, but more on that in a moment. So what actually is bengaline? Well, in doing research for this chat, I found a little bit of background on the history and a variety of descriptions. So bengaline was originally manufactured in Bengal in India, which is how it's got its name. The French merchants began to import it, and by the end of the 19th century, it had become a sought-after, luxurious fabric. It was initially made from silk threads, but was a more cost-effective fabric than natural silk. But to bring the price down even further, they began to make it from a variety of other fibres, including cotton and more recently man-made fibres such as rayon and nylon. Bengaline is described as a woven fabric with a wide, raised, crosswise cords, or ribs, that create a sturdy texture. The majority of bengalines that I've found are a combination of two or more of these different fibres. I wasn't able to find any silk bengaline online, so I can't tell you if that is luxurious, but I can tell you that is not the word that I would have used to describe the bengaline that arrived from Minerva. That's not to be critical of the bengaline I received, but that's not an adjective that sprang to mind when I opened it. So, as with any fabric, the actual fibres that it's made from make a big difference to the finished product. Now, the description that it's ribbed might lead you to think that it's more like a rib knit, where you can clearly see the rise and fall of the rib channels. But the two lots of bengaline that I have don't really feel ribbed at all. At least that's not a word either that would spring to mind to describe them. They feel quite smooth, but they definitely don't feel like a natural fibre. Unfortunately, because I bought them several years ago, I don't have the details of the exact composition of them. They do definitely have a lightweight but sturdy texture though. So the description goes on to say that it's made from using a thin or fine textile for the warp, which if you imagine a weaving loom is the set of threads that run vertically from top to bottom. And a heavier fibre is then woven through these horizontally. This is the weft. And just as an aside, the way that I remember which is the warp and which is the weft of a fabric when talking about woven fabrics is that weft rhymes with left, and the weft goes from left to right, which means the warp must be the one that goes up and down. Little insight there into how my little mind works. Okay, so back to the fabric. So its key characteristics are that it's woven, sturdy and stretchy. Now, when I say stretchy, I mean really stretchy. It has in the region of 30% stretch, which is a lot for a woven fabric. But the catch is that most bengaline is two-way stretch, which, unlike it sounds, means it stretches only in one direction. The alternative being four-way stretch, which means it stretches in both directions, up and down and acrosswise. Now don't look at me like that, I didn't invent the naming convention, I'm just the messenger. So it stretches in one direction, but unlike any other woven fabrics, or most two-way stretch knit fabrics, instead of the stretch being across the fabric from selvage to selvage, it's actually parallel to the selvage from top to bottom. So it means that it stretches between the cut edges, not between the selvages. So what difference does that make? Well, when we're making garments, we usually want the stretch to go around our bodies to allow for movement. Most patterns assume that if you're using a stretch fabric, that the stretch will be at right angles to the grain line. So if you decide to use your pattern with bengaline, it's highly likely that you'll need to align the grain line markings with the cross grain, which means turning them round through 90 degrees so that you lie them across the fabric rather than along the length of the fabric. This also means that if you buy bengaline with a printed pattern on it, you might be best to look for one where the pattern doesn't have an obvious direction. Otherwise, it might end up looking like the pattern is turned on its side. It's quite hard to describe this without being able to show you pictures, but hopefully that made some sense. If not, just message me. Other key properties are that it's easily dyed and woven. So it's available in lots of colours, and the structure of the fabric means that it also responds well to different stitching techniques like embroidery and beadwork. The reason I wanted to talk about it in relation to the warmer weather is it's also lightweight. Bengaline doesn't cling to your skin, and it is a breathable fabric that's not bulky or heavy. Although I think that the fibres that your bengaline is made from do influence this. The greater percentage of synthetic fibres, the less breathable I think it would be. And it is lustrous. When woven from a blend of cotton and silk threads, there is a certain glow or sheen that bengaline has, which can give it that sense of luxury. I think all bengalines have a sheen, although, again, I think the fibre content here depends on the impact of how luxurious it will then appear or feel. Okay, so back to the descriptions. So, for the uses of bengaline, I saw recommendations to use it for well-constructed dresses, such as cocktail dresses with full skirts, and wedding gowns to make the most of bengaline's sturdiness. I also saw it recommended for use in outerwear, such as coats, and for children's wear, as one of its properties is that it's hard wearing. But where you may have seen it used most is in trousers, and in particular in ready-to-wear capri pants, or brands like ASOS do a bootcut-style trouser made from bengaline. It lends itself well to these styles because of the high amount of stretch. It also doesn't really crease too much, which again can be a plus for making trousers. It's more sturdy than jersey, and it's also less clingy. Although, if you made trousers very fitted from bengaline, I think you would see things like panty lines through them. So I think it's best suited for more like a close-fit trouser-type pattern rather than a legging-type pattern, as I think it does look best when it's not quite stretched under tension all the time, but is more used to allow for ease of movement. I have to say that I'm not sure about using it for a circle skirt cocktail dress. Whether the version of bengaline they're referring to is different to the ones I have or not, I can't say, but I think it might stick out, and not in a good way. But I haven't tried it, so maybe that's an experiment to add to the list. I do like the idea of making a lightweight jacket out of it, but I think it would need to be a natural fibre bengaline, otherwise it might not be breathable enough. I use mine to make two pencil skirts, a long and a short one, and it's perfect for those. It holds the shape, it doesn't crease or wrinkle, and they're super comfortable and flattering because they aren't clingy, and yet they still have structure. I've also made some capri-style pants, which are also really comfortable and very lightweight. So what happened to the Eliza M. Eva dress? Well, it turned out the pattern didn't really fit me very well, and this was before I was used to using twirls. Where the darts were, it just kind of stuck out. And so after a few attempts to fix it, without much success, in the end, I decided to dismantle it and use the fabric to make the skirts instead. So what types of bengaline are available? Well, there's lots out there. Most of them have blends of fibres, and most of the ones I've seen have the appearance of a sheen. They come in solid colours and also with printed patterns. In my research, it said that the fibres are dyed before weaving, and I think that only applies to the solid colours. And it does explain why there is a sheen if the fibres are slightly different shades. The ones that I've seen with a printed pattern look like it's been printed onto the surface after it was woven. I haven't found any that were made from wool, but I did find a selection of other compositions. So to give you a comparison to the ready-to-wear trousers that you might have seen, so Roman do some capri pants, which are made with 74% viscose, 23% polyamide and 3% elastane. ASOS also do some Bengaline trousers, which are similar properties, so they have 74% rayon, 22% nylon and 4% elastane. If you Google Bengaline trousers, you can see for yourself what's out there. And if you're interested in trying the fabric to see what it feels like, then maybe order some ready-to-wear ones, try them out, make a note of the composition of the fabric from the website, and then that way, if you like them, you know what to order, and if you don't, you know what to avoid. In terms of online fabric stores, I found a few examples in a wide range of prices. So BST Fabrics had some Bengaline advertised, 70% viscose, 20% nylon and 3% elastane. Minerva had some stretch viscose Bengaline fabric, priced at $17.99 a metre, which was also 70% viscose, in this case 26% polyester and 4% spandex. And spandex and elastane are very similar, it's just like a brand name for elastane, I think. Minerva also have a stretch rayon Bengaline fabric, which is $7.99 on sale at the moment, and that was 70% rayon, 27% nylon and 3% spandex. They have a Lady McElroy cotton Bengaline, which is 97% cotton and 3% spandex, and I think that was about $15.99 a metre. That was a pink colour with a pattern printed on it. And they even were advertising a linen Bengaline, which has 24% linen, 21% nylon, 19% rayon, 18% polyester, 15% cotton and 3% spandex. So pretty much everything thrown into the mix there. And on Etsy, I found a jacquard Bengaline advertised with 45% rayon, 32% polyester, 20% polyacrylic and 3% spandex. So because I'm now intrigued to see how they all compare, I've ordered some samples of quite a few of these to add to my sample library. And when they arrive, I'll do a quick video for the Facebook group and website just to show you what turns up. So keep your eyes peeled for that, or easier still, sign up for the newsletter and then you'll get notified automatically. So what's Bengaline like to work with? Well, there's lots of recommendations about pre-washing because it is prone to shrinking. If it has a high synthetic content, then also be careful about how much heat you apply to it. When I was using it, I tended to use a pressing cloth whenever I ironed it just to be sure. I also read it can be prone to going shiny if you iron it directly, so again, beware of that. The two versions I got were very easy to cut out and sew because the fabric's quite sturdy even though it's elastic. It lies quite flat and doesn't curl up in the way that jersey does. And the versions that I had didn't really fray, but I did finish the edges with the overlocker for the seam allowances, just for neatness. The garments I made from it, I made to the same size that would fit me without it having to be stretched under tension, as if they were close-fitting woven garments. Then I used the stretch component of the fabric to accommodate the movement. In blog posts from people that have used it, I've noted that they complained that they had to size down, sometimes several sizes, when they were using Bengaline with some of their patterns because it was so stretchy. For my capris, I used the Jarly Eleanor pattern, and I'd made them in a stretch denim prior to that, and because they shrank a bit after the first wash, despite me pre-washing the fabric, they're now a bit too small. But I made the same size in the Bengaline, and they're much more comfortable, and they do feel a bit looser. So you may need to experiment with sizing when using this fabric. The skirts I made came up the same size as the versions that I also made in a Ponte Roma fabric. I was able to sew mine with a normal universal needle. But if you have a Bengaline with a high synthetic fibre content like nylon, then you might want to try a stretch needle which is more suited to that type of fibre. I did do a podcast about sewing machine needles, which was episode 36. So if you want more information on that, then do go back and find that episode. It gives you a bit more detail about how to choose sewing machine needles for different fabrics. So if you're looking for patterns to try it out with, then Stylark do quite a few trouser, shorts and even skirt and dress patterns where they recommend using it. I think they used to sell the fabric too, but they didn't have any listed when I went to check their site recently. I'll put a link to their site in the show notes, and if you use the option in the top right to search, type in Bengaline and then it brings up all the patterns that they would recommend using it with, and there were quite a few of them. Minerva do have quite a selection of Bengaline fabrics, but again, if you Google Bengaline fabric, then it should give you a list of local sites where you can buy it too. So I mentioned at the beginning that Bengaline appears to be a bit of a marmite of fabrics, in that people seem to love or loathe it. I have to say, the garments I've made from it, I love, and I would use it again in the future. The main aspect I love is the combination of structure and stretch, which ticks the boxes for my classic and natural aspects of my style personality. So what's not to love about it? Well, I discovered a fabulous video by the lovely Gillian of Crafting a Rainbow, where she was reviewing some Bengaline that she'd been gifted. And in the notes of the accompanying blog post, she also included some feedback she had from the person that gifted it to her. I'll put a link to the video in the show notes, as I think she does a great job of describing the pros and cons. And she shows you the fabric, and you can also hear the properties of it. One thing she does mention is the sound of the fabric. And this is more noticeable if you have a garment like trousers, where sections of the garment brush past one another. So I have my capri pants here, and this is the sound that the fabric makes. Gillian refers to it like when you wear a snowsuit, or I think another equivalent would be like a puffer jacket. I can't say I've really noticed the noise when I'm wearing my trousers, although maybe now it's been pointed out to me, it'll be all I can hear. So if you like your fabrics to be seen and not heard, then maybe this won't make it to your favourites list. And so here is an extract from the feedback that Gillian's friend gave her when giving her the fabric. See if you can spot if she likes it or not. I don't like Bengaline, and I'm working with the good kind, the rayon blend, not the poly blend. I can only imagine how hideous the poly stuff must feel. There's so much flipping stretch that I can pull the pants off without opening the zip. My Claudia pants pattern is suited for fabric having a max stretch of 20%, and probably 10% stretch factor would be better. The fabric feels untenably fake. It's a bit sheeny on both sides, so I couldn't figure out which was which. Bengaline seems to never iron completely. I mean, it presses a nice seam, but it's almost like you iron in the wrinkles as you go. It didn't take my fusible interfacing well, so there's a bit of a weird overstretched bubbliness on the underside of the facing. Not a deal breaker, but ugly. So my conclusion is, she wasn't a fan. I also found a great blog post by Imogen Lamport, who I think is also not a fan, which I will also link in the show notes. She talks about why this fabric won't be for everyone based on how we connect with what we wear. If touch and feel are really key for you, then this fabric, particularly the synthetic versions, will probably not be to your taste. It does feel unusual, and if you can't get past that, then it's probably best to move on to other alternatives. So hopefully that gives you a bit of an introduction to Bengaline. If you haven't already tried it, have I managed to pique your interest? Which camp do you think you'll be in? Will you give it a try? Will you love it? Will you loathe it? I'd love to know your experiences. If you've tried it, let me know via the So Much More Fun Facebook group or contact me via the So Much More Fun website and let me know what your thoughts were and how you got on with it. So that's all I have for you today. It's been great to chat with you again, and I'm really looking forward to doing it all again soon. So until next time, bye for now. Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the show notes in the description area of your podcast app and click to follow or subscribe. Or head over to sewmindful.com/podcast, which is sewmindful.com, where you can also sign up for an email reminder so that you don't miss out on any juicy episodes. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, then please help others find us by leaving a review if you love this episode. And I'm always excited to find out what you got from the episode and how you plan to use the tips. And finally, if you have a question, feedback, or a topic you'd like me to investigate, then you can also email me at hello@somuchmorefun.co.uk. So until next time, stay gorgeous and have so much more fun.